the Sportscast, April 11th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, visit us on the sportscast.net. Also, you could download our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The 2022, the second edition of the NBA play-in begins this week. Still a trial and error. I would, if you would ask me if this was going to work out, it could switch back, to be honest. But it gives a second chance for a C10 or C9 to perhaps make it into the playoffs, give second chances. And a man that owns an iPhone and is from Chicago and is running a basketball scouting league, Jordan Vargas, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me.
Jordan, awesome. Jordan awesome Vargas, our basketball man. So tell us, what have you been up to lately? How is your basketball scouting business going so far?
It's going great. I coach AAU, and I also look at kids for potential high school prospects to get recruited to play at a private school. So it's been going great. Business is doing good, training kids throughout the week and seeing massive improvement. It's very satisfying to see kids you coach, and over time you see their improvements and see them catch on to things and have developed that love for basketball even more. It's been doing great. And Santiago, thank you for having me back on and to talk about NBA playing and what's upcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, big tournament ahead of us. The play-in begins tomorrow, April 12th. Let's go into the first matchup. Okay, so this is how the format is, if anyone's still wondering about this. The format goes like this. Number 7 plays number 8, and number 9 plays number 10. The winner of the 7 and 8 game gets in the number 7 seed, while the loser plays the winner of the 9 and 10 game for the number 8 seed. Put in another way, the numbers 7 and 8 seeds get 2 shots to win 1 playing game, while the number 9s and 10 seeds have no margin for error, having to win 2 straight to get in, 1 loss, and they're out. So pretty much is a single elimination tournament. So there's no best out of 3, 5, or 7. You're going straight at it. Let's go into the first. Okay, so the seeds are, let me explain. There's a lot of explanation. These were the standings at as of last night. The Heat are number 1. 2 are Bucks. 3 Celtics. 4 Philadelphia 76ers. 5 Toronto. Number 6, Jordan Vargas, Chicago Bulls. 7 Nets, 8 Cavs, number 9 Hawks, and the 10 Hornets. The West, the Oeste, Suns at number 1, 2 Grizz, 3 Warriors, 4 Mavericks, as Ryan Chris's team. Then number 5 Jazz, then the Nuggets, then the T-Wolves, Clippers, number 8, Pelicans at number 9, and number 10, the San Antonio Spurs. Before we get into the play-in preview, what were your thoughts over these standings and overall this season, Jordan Vargas?
Well, I think for the Eastern Conference, I'll speak for this. It hurts to see the Bulls drop to number 6.
Because they were at number 2 or 4 for a while.
They're at number 2. And I think throughout the season goes, I mean, you see it every year, injuries are going to happen. I mean, they play hard for 70-something games so far. I mean, it's an 82-game season, so or 83, I can't remember.
82.
It's somewhere in the 80s, 82. Yeah,
72-10 Bulls, remember that?
And like the rest of history. And the 73-9 Warriors, but it's a grueling season. So you're going to expect some injuries, and I think that's what endurance is very key. And you see that in some teams that switched up on the Eastern and Western Conference. Some teams kind of rose the occasion, and other teams like Chicago, they kind of fell through. I wouldn't say Chicago completely fell through, but due to injuries and complications. I mean, return of Lonzo is not going to return. Was announced he's not going to be returning for this upcoming the rest of the season due to a knee issue. You know, we've been dealing with injuries on and off the bench. Luckily, we got Patrick Williams back. He's been going hard at it, but it's just not enough, in my opinion, to to hold a substantial playoff run. But it's the same story with all the other teams in the Eastern Conference, and it's very similar to the teams in the Western Conference.
As Jordan alluded, Lonzo Ball is out for the season. He had, I think, a knee injury back in January. Was hoping that he might make it to the postseason. Did not happen. He's out, ruled out. So you're saying without him, you're not going to have high expectations with the Bulls this playoff season?
Oh, no. Not just without him, but I mean Caruso dealing with injuries back and forth. Derek Jones dealing with some injuries. His name is escaping my mind, but just guys throughout the bench, role players, players that you see throughout the beginning of the season that made Chicago Chicago, and was making them a beast in the East, and that kind of slowly went under just due to injuries. So it's just right now with every team in the East and the West, it's just kind of it's luck. I mean, at this point, it's what players got injured, what players didn't get injured. If you were to say Devin Booker got injured, I don't know if Suns would be number one. If you were to say Curry and Klay would have been injured, I don't know if they would have been number three. So you kind of have to look at it from that perspective of if these players weren't injured, then maybe they would be higher ranked. But it's just the way it is and the way the NBA is, especially nearing the postseason.
Yeah, being prepared, what's going to happen, but I do think the Bulls are built for the 22-23 season. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I think we will for sure be built for a great season. Everyone should be healthy, and we'll see, who we draft and how our summer league goes. So that's going to be very exciting to see.
We'll see what happens. Of course, there is a postseason that needs to be played, the number six, and which they know who the rival is the Boston Celtics. Jordan, what's going to happen there?
That's tricky because Boston, they're healthy, and I think they're kind of coming out stronger this season. But you know what? I'm not going to count Chicago out. Anything could really happen. So, I mean, Chicago could have a decent run, but I mean, Celtics have been playing well. I'm a huge fan of Jason Tatum. Been a huge fan of Jason Tatum since he was in high school, and then had that nice stunt over at Duke with Marvin Bagley, and he's just been transferring the NBA. Jason Tatum is going to be one of the guys in the NBA in the next 3, 4 years that's going to be talked about as one of the best in the league. I mean, he already is, but when some other players retire, he's going to be the best. Huge fan of Payton Pritchard. Not everybody really knows who Payton Pritchard is. He's number 11 on the Boston Celtics. Phenomenal role player. I really like him. Played fantastic at Oregon. And he's just one of the players that adds on to Boston's culture and role culture. And one thing Boston doesn't have to deal with is egos. It's when you're in Kyrie with Boston, you had a little ego situation. But everyone in Boston just puts their, name and Instagram followers aside, and they just go out and they take care of business.
Well, Jordan, you had a perfect segue. Kyrie Irving. Let's segue into the first play-in matchup. Number eight, Cleveland Cavaliers at the Brooklyn Nets. They were rising. I think they were as low as number nine. They reached to the seventh seed like this past week, especially after beating the Knicks. Key matchup is Kyrie Irving versus Garland from the Cavaliers. This Cavs team post LeBron James doing okay. What do you think is going to happen with that matchup?
I'm going to personally say I think Cleveland has a shot at it. Brooklyn, as hard as Brooklyn's been going, I've been seeing inconsistencies with Brooklyn all season. I mean, they've had a very up and down season, and their organization over the past 2 years could be debated as very inconsistent. And Cleveland has just been consistent, which is what you need in the NBA. You need consistency and you need drive, and they have a phenomenally young team. I think they have one of the younger teams in the league. Darius Garland is on his second year. Colin Sexton's on his third or fourth year. LeVert, Darius Adams. All those guys, they're all young guys. I mean, they just got drafted just a few years ago, just a couple years ago. So they're a very young team. In Brooklyn, I mean, the Nets are going to be the Nets. I mean, they're phenomenal. One of the powerhouse teams of the NBA. Not taking anything away from that. But my personal opinion, I would like to see Cleveland go farther. Just because I think everybody could agree, they made a very strong, impressive run this year. So I just would like to see them go even farther. And and go deep in the playoffs. And maybe LeBron's going to come back to Cleveland if they make a nice run in the playoffs or have a, you know, finish the season out strong.
Precisely.
But I have Cleveland.
Oh, you got Cleveland over the Nets. Nets, of course, have Kevin Durant. Without Harden, you think the Nets have been better, or is pretty much like the same?
Well, I think it's hard to say the Nets have been better without Harden, because Harden plays such a huge impact on the game. I mean, he's one of the best scorers in the league, so it's kind of hard to say that they're better without him. But I think they've definitely done a solid job of filling the void of not having Harden there. But it's always hard not having someone who can play basketball like James Harden on your team. And when you have that, and it changes when you don't. Hopefully, you know, Brooklyn's gonna make a nice run along with them. You know, I'm just picking Cleveland over pure. Just picking Cleveland just because I want them to go farther. But Brooklyn, of course, has opportunity. I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely. Brooklyn definitely has some standout stars, of course, with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So we'll see how things mesh. A lot of money was invested towards this club, so we'll see what they can do. Ben Simmons is out for at least the first round. I mean, do you think they really need him?
As a presence, I think they need him as a presence. I mean, Ben still holds value to the game. You know, his scoring has not been as efficient, but he holds value. And he holds a nice presence on the floor, move the ball really well for his size, is good on defense. So it's just kind of filling voids, and it's kind of having those role players. And I know the NBA, not that the NBA G League season is over, that NBA is having a lot of NBA call-ups coming back in, filling some of those guys. So it'll be interesting to see what guys come up from off the bench or even from the G League to help fill that role of the void that the Brooklyn Nets need.
There you go. G League coming in handy, especially towards the end of the season, where a lot of these players are MIA, injured, and whatnot. Later that night on Tuesday, tomorrow night, April 12th, the Clippers played the Minnesota Timberwolves. Key matchup, Paul George versus Anthony Edwards. This Clipper team hanging in there without Kawhi Leonard. Timberwolves really on a good streak. What are your thoughts over that matchup?
Timberwolves have been, in my opinion, they've been killing it. Along with they've just been going at it this season. Anthony's rookie year, last year, I would like them to see them go farther. But again, when you have a player like Anthony Edwards, who's just an all-around athlete, and I know everybody in the NBA, they're all athletes, but Anthony is an exceptional athlete. You have someone like that with his character, his attitude, his leadership, his skill. That goes very, very far, because not every NBA team has that player. Not every NBA team has an Anthony Edwards. And especially with the coaching staff that they have and the leadership that Anthony is under, you know, the guidance, it's going to lead Minnesota into a really, really good run. And the LA Clippers, they're a phenomenal team as well, but I would like to say that the Minnesota is going to go farther in this between this matchup. You know, Paul George is, of course, you know, one of the greatest of all times, you know, one of the best of the best. But it's more than just a one person effort. You know, whole team got to contribute. And when you have someone like Anthony Edwards, in my opinion, who's going to blossom to be kind of the next, you could say, Paul George, it's special when you have something like that. Minnesota is fully aware of that. I think every fan for the Timberwolves and Clippers could agree with that.
Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards leading this Timberwolves. Also, Pat Bev is in this roster as well. As Jordan says, I agree with them. I think the Wolves have been having a great couple of weeks. I think momentum is on their side. Clippers just have, you know, just Paul George pretty much, you know. So we'll see any heroics, but I really doubt it. Only single elimination. And it's being played in Minnesota. Minnesota has the edge by a lot. Then Wednesday, April 13th, Charlotte Hornets, which Jordan is very keen with, is going to Atlanta Hawks. That's right. Trae Young versus LaMelo Ball, the dream matchup. What? Break it down for us, Jordan. I know you're pretty excited to break this one down.
This is going to be a really, really good matchup for multiple reasons. First reason being, I believe Atlanta and Charlotte, they're evenly talented, talent-wise, skill-wise, matched up. I mean, their point guard and Charlotte's point guard, LaMelo Ball and Trae Young, they're not too far in age. LaMelo Ball is 6'7", 6'8", really shifty with the ball. Trae Young, 6'2", really shifty with the ball. They both have a shot. They both bring intensity. If you remember, I think I counted out the Atlanta Hawks during their playoff run against New York.
You did.
And I kind of looked at it. I was like, no. I said, I don't know if they're going to go very far. You know, New York is New York with Thibodeau. And Trae Young absolutely shut that down. He absolutely shut that down. So when it's playoff mode and when it's time to go, Trae seems to really hold the team. Not even just Trae. I mean, the entire roster knows how to go ahead. And same with the Hornets. You know, Hornets got PJ Washington. They just brought out some G League guys. I forget his name, something Thor, played with LaMelo Ball in Greensboro, Terry Rozier, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, James Bouknight. So both teams are evenly stacked. I mean, from the beginning to the bench. So it just kind of be which one of the better ones is gonna come out. My personal opinion, though, I'm putting my money on Charlotte. Even, you know, I think Trey's gonna go hard, but I don't know if it's gonna stop Charlotte.
How about health wise? Who do you think is a healthier team?
Charlotte for sure. Charlotte for sure is a healthier team.
Young team, hungry team. I'm a Trae Young fan, as you know. I think he had a fantastic run last season. Fortunately, they had they dropped to number 9, so they had to pick up the slack a bit, and they're going up against the Hornets. LaMelo Ball, do you think this is his time to shine? Do you think this is time where he's going to prove it to everyone, hey, I'm a legit NBA player?
Oh, yeah. I think everyone saw that he was a legit NBA player when he won Rookie of the Year against Anthony Edwards, and they both had phenomenal seasons. I think LaMelo Ball has put his stamp on. I mean, if you look at LaMelo play, it looks like he's playing at, you know, your local church league over here. I mean, he's insane. I mean, he makes the game look so easy. So I think automatically he adds that stamp of approval to himself. But if he makes a nice run within the play-in, it's going to make that even more. Every NBA player wants one thing. You know, they just want a championship. So LaMelo's going to go at it along with the Hornets. But, you know, again, the Hawks have a good team, you know, as well. They got Collins, Young. So they got a few guys that can go deep as well. But I personally would pick Charlotte.
This might be the most exciting matchup of the whole play-in.
Yeah, I would say that, or the Clippers and Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, yeah. I mean,
just we're gonna see. I would like to see how.
Yeah. Like the biggest game, of course. I mean, like the biggest team is the Nets, but some good evened out matchup, like you were saying, Clippers and Wolves, and then of course Charlotte and Atlanta. So we'll definitely see what happens there. It could be anyone's game. I think Charlotte does have the edge for health. And they're playing in Atlanta, so not the worst hostile environment to play at, but we'll see what happens. All right, finally, the last matchup, San Antonio Spurs. Yes, Popovich is still there, still hanging in there, but this time they're number 10. They're going to go to New Orleans Pelicans, which they had a major trade throughout the season. Blazers were emptying out their players. CJ McCollum helped save the Pelicans. And guiding them through to the play-in. What are your thoughts over this matchup? And is it going to be close, or do you think the Pelicans might have their momentum in their side?
I think the Pelicans have momentum on their side, but, you know, again, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all pans out, but I would say the Pelicans. But, again, I mean, Greg Popovich has experience like this before. He has championship experience. He's played with the best of the best, coached the best of the best. So we'll see where that experience lines up and how far we'll take it. But out of the matchup between the Spurs and the Pelicans, I know I just said Pelicans, but thinking back on what I just said with experience wise, I'm gonna go with San Antonio.
San Antonio with Pop. Their main star is DeJounte Murray. He's nearly averaged a triple-double during the regular season with 18.3 points and 9.8 rebounds and 10 assists in his four games. Mm-hmm. So they'll be relying on him. Negative side about him, he recently missed the last five games with an upper respiratory illness, but should be a go against New Orleans. So we'll see how things go with these two teams. Popovich, one of the oldest coaches in the NBA around, probably one of the oldest coach in the NBA. So we'll see what happens. I'm picking the Pelicans. I think McCollum is he's being that star study guy. You know, he was the number two in Portland, but he's risen up to a number one guy, hasn't he?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I mean, Dame and CJ have had times to go to the championship. They've had times to make that run, and I would love to see CJ come in and take care of business for New Orleans. But I personally, in my heart, believe that San Antonio's going to go farther. But that's not taken away from what CJ can do and his impact on the game.
Ray Sherrod from Sports Talk 101, which you can listen to every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, says Trey Young is dope, which he's referring to Trey Young. Ball is legit. Pretty tight there, isn't it? Good matchup.
It's a great matchup. Yeah.
Can't wait for that one. Well, there you have it. Before we end the show, this is a RIP moment of the Los Angeles Lakers who could not make the playoffs or the play-in. A disastrous season, you would say. LeBron James, I think his first no postseason ever, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Jordan, do you want to say any eulogy for the Los Angeles Lakers? And they're letting go of their coach, Frank Vogel. But give me your eulogy over the Los Angeles Lakers this past season.
I'm going to give my eulogy to the role players. I'm going to give my eulogy to the two-way G League players. I'm going to give my eulogy to the call-up players because I think they're going to clear the bench and they're going to make serious adjustments. Serious adjustments. But no, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it's funny. If you saw the game last night, Mac McCollum played, had a 10-day with Chicago. He went to Georgetown, transferred to Tech, had a phenomenal college run, and then drafted by LA, had a G League stunt, signed a 10-day with Chicago, played in Chicago's G League team, then got traded back to South Bay Lakers, which is Lakers' G League team, and had a call-up since the NBA G League season ended for Los Angeles as well. He performed great. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, LA has a really good experience in developing players, and they know how to do it. So it wouldn't surprise me if they picked a couple guys from G League and they made some interesting trades coming up this season. And I believe that LeBron's been kind of scouting every game he's gone to. He's been kind of scouting what players he would like to have back. Kobe Bryant, not many people know, but Kobe Bryant did that to Matt Barnes when Matt Barnes would talk trash to Kobe and try to get in his head. Kobe liked that. Matt Barnes was trying to get under the skin of one of the greatest players to ever play the game of basketball. So I think LeBron's been kind of having that same edge along with him too, trying to figure out what players would bring the intensity, bring the skill, bring the talent to bring a championship for LA. Or LeBron could just leave and go back to Cleveland. Personally, I would go back to Cleveland and stay there for a while because it seemed like Cleveland has their stuff together over there. And not saying LA doesn't, but I would like to see him go back to Cleveland.
Yeah, for sure. I do think he'll eventually head back there. Of course, I don't know if it'll be the one-day contract or play for one more season or bring a championship back to Cleveland, which is really tough when he did it when he was with them. One of the big arguments was that Lakers got rid of DeRozan for Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, DeRozan plays for the Bulls now, but what are your thoughts over that? You think Lakers did a miscue there?
I think everybody can answer that question. I mean,
massive fail.
It's not, there's, it's definitely going to be, that's such, it's such a, It's funny because a lot of people would have never thought that that'd be like a bad trade. You know, you hear Westbrook trading for DeRozan, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like that could happen. And then you see how two different performers played on two different teams. But again, it's two different systems, two different teams, two different general managers, two different playing styles, two different sets of rosters. But I believe that they should have kept DeRozan.
Yeah, DeRozan was definitely key
But thank
there.
you. But
Yeah,
thank you
exactly.
because
Help out
now
the
Chicago has
Bulls
him.
and
Yeah.
being the duo with Lonzo Ball. Another Joel another piece of news, Joel Embiid wins the scoring title of the NBA this past season. Your thoughts? I mean, well deserved, I think.
Oh yeah, Joel's been having a phenomenal season. I mean, he's in the boards for MVP. It would be really nice to see him get MVP. He's had kind of an up and down hill career with injuries, you know, dealing with them with how physically large he is and the struggles he's had to go through. So it would be really nice to see him come out with MVP and along with him coming out with the scoring title. It would be really, really nice.
There you have it. Joel Embiid, congratulations. The playoffs postseason begins tomorrow night with the Cavs at Nets. Tip off at 7 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Then later, Clippers at Minnesota at 9:30. Then on Wednesday, Hornets at Hawks, 7 p.m. After talking about it, I'm definitely gonna watch that matchup. And then later that night,
Oh,
the
yeah.
Spurs at the Pelicans. I think that game might be the weakest of all four of them. If you ask me, I think the Hornets and Hawks might be the biggest game of the
Oh,
play-in.
yeah, that's gonna be in Atlanta too. That's gonna be a
Yeah, it's
very,
gonna be
very
wild.
crazy
New
game.
and the Hornets, hey, things are working out, things are jiving. So we'll see. Ball is the franchise player, I would have to say.
Oh, I think it's already been said. Rookie of the year, putting up the numbers he's been putting up. LaMelo Ball just being LaMelo Ball. I think he's
Exactly.
for sure going to be a franchise player.
Ball
I think he already
brother.
is a franchise player.
Yeah, Ball brother's coming into fruition. Poll question of the day, Jordan. What is your favorite farm animal? Options are pigs, chickens, roosters, or cows.
Probably pigs.
That
Probably
seems like it.
pigs. You know. Yeah,
Cows is
probably
winning by
pigs.
80%. So people like the milk, or they like the burgers, or they just like the cow on the farm.
Cows are just kind of boring to look at. I mean, they really don't do much. They either lay down or they just stand there. So pigs are
Have you,
more active. They make a lot more noise.
Jordan, have you ever tipped a cow?
Have I ever tipped a cow? No. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I would do that just because I don't know if a bull would be right around the corner, and I wouldn't want. I wouldn't want to set alarms to 700, 800 pound animals. I wouldn't want to do that.
It is. Jordan, Ray says you are brilliant. What is the best way to reach you online? And also your what's the best way to reach you online?
Best way to reach me online. Is my Twitter Jordan Vargas 02. It's not that I go, I changed it. I was able to change it. Jordan Vargas 02. And my Instagram, Jordan dot underscore dot Vargas. You can reach me there, and I would love to contact with you and talk more.
Yeah, used to be Jordan 23, right, or something.
I used to be the real JDV 23, and I made that when
Okay.
I was 13.
Ray
And then
has to
I
Ray has tipped the cow, and it's fun.
Oh man, I would never do that. No.
Okay,
No,
you
that's not happening.
have it.
You didn't pay me
Anyways.
enough to do that. Would you
Anyways.
do it?
I did, but I tried, but I didn't have change.
Oh, okay. Oh, I
I'm
see what you did
joking.
there. I see what you did there.
can reach us at sportscast.net or reach us at the Sportscast One. You can tell us if you've ever tipped a cow. And of course, follow us along this week. We'll be live tweeting actually this week to play in. And see what happens. The playoffs begin. The actual playoffs begin on Sunday this weekend. So teams are waiting in the wings, but the Bulls know their rival. The Heat does not know their rival. But if the Heat needs to watch out for one team, who would it be? who doesn't the Heat want to face from these playing teams? Is it Charlotte? Is it Atlanta? Is it Brooklyn? Well, no, Brooklyn or the Cavs?
Milwaukee.
I don't know. Yeah, Milwaukee might be the toughest overall.
I think Milwaukee would be the toughest because it's because of they have them very close, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a matchup issue, not a seed issue.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. No. Well, Jordan Vargas, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
And this was your update.